Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Tuesday, August the 25th. Thanks for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio to co-host is Walker Wildman. How you doing, Walker?
Doing well. Good morning. Good to be on the show.
And Studio Venus is occupied by Fred Jackson.
Yes, we've landed again.
Fred is on Venus doing proper social distancing. And how you doing, Brother Ray?
Oh, listen, I'm far, far, far away.
Right.
We're very socially distant here in Kansas City.
Yeah. Hey, how's that new puppy you got there?
Oh, we gave her her first haircut. Uh-huh. And everybody says when you give a puppy a haircut, it changes their personality. So she's had the zoomies ever since then. She's been zooming around the house like, what happened to my hair? So she's doing great, Tim, doing great. Mm-hmm. And hasn't made too many mistakes. When Marlene and I pay attention, she doesn't make any mistakes at all.
Yeah, that getting the dog house trained is, that can test you right there.
Yeah.
You start second guessing yourself there for just a few minutes anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. So much to talk about today. Dr. Frank Turek will be with us coming up at the 15 after. And then Sandy Rios will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Walker, if folks want to join us on the internet, what do they need to do?
Yes, there's several ways to keep up with us on the internet. You can always visit our website, afr.net. It's a great way to keep up with Today's Issues and American Family Radio. And you can also follow us on Facebook and YouTube. We like to keep you up to speed on the news stories of the day, so we'll post many of the articles on our Facebook page. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube, and you can keep up with us there.
All right, Fred, what's happening?
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about as far as politics goes in the opening night of the Republican convention, but want to draw attention this morning to Hurricane Laura. Yes, it became a hurricane early this morning. Got about 140 miles or so off the Gulf Coast, Louisiana, Texas, between Houston, over to Lake Charles. Right now, they're anticipating landfall late tomorrow night, early on Thursday morning. It is now a Category 3 is the projection as it hits the shore or even higher. Now, people may be asking, what about Marco? Well, that storm kind of dissipated because of very strong crosswinds. But right now, there is nothing standing in the way of Laura coming ashore in that vicinity between Houston, Lake Charles, on its projected track right now. Now, we're about 15 years after the hurricane that came ashore on the Gulf Coast and did so much damage at that time. And so
Katrina.
We're talking about Katrina. Of course, Houston is still getting over Hurricane Harvey. So there's a lot of concern out there this morning. States of emergency have already gone out for Louisiana, for the Gulf Coast of Mississippi as well. So this, everything we're hearing at this hour, this is going to be a bad, bad storm. Mandatory evacuations have already been put in place for some of those communities along the coast, along the mouth of the Mississippi River. So watch out for this. Be praying for the folks that are really, really in the target of this storm.
Yeah, Category 3, Ray, do you know what miles per hour winds have?
Isn't that winds up over 125 up to around 150 miles an hour?
We're getting to that, yes.
Yeah. Sustained.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hurricanes obviously three ways that they can cause real damage. The winds you just mentioned. Sustained winds of 125, 140 miles an hour, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
For what? A couple of hours?
Yeah, this is when they declared it a hurricane, I guess this morning or late last night, the maximum sustained winds were 75 miles per hour. So I guess that would be a Category 1. And then if that builds above 75 miles per hour sustained, then it becomes a Cat 2, Cat 3, et cetera.
Yeah, and then the storm surge, which is that wall of water that comes in with a hurricane. And then, of course, rain itself, which causes massive flooding. So, but, you know, these folks along the Gulf Coast, they've seen this movie several times. So you kind of, I don't know if you would say adjust to it, but it doesn't freak them out.
It's not a surprise.
It doesn't freak them out. You know, if you've been through it so many times before, they know what I'm saying. They know how to prepare.
Mm-hmm. And where are they saying it's going to come ashore?
Well, it looks like somewhere around the Louisiana-Texas border.
Correct. Wow. Yeah. For instance, Port Arthur, Texas, the mayor there, Thurman Bardi, has already issued a mandatory evacuation order. So, I mean, they are getting ready for this, and they are taking it very seriously.
Yeah. Category 3, it's a strong storm. As you say, I think when Katrina actually made landfall, it was a Category 3.
Yes.
It was a Category 5 out in the Gulf, but then as it moved ashore, it lessened in strength, I guess you should say. Weakened, I should say, in strength. But still, it was that storm surge, not the wind, in Katrina that did so much damage. All right, well, that's something to look out for. As you say, Fred, we need to be in prayer for our friends along the Gulf Coast. Now, we've got the Republican National Convention kicked off yesterday, right?
Yeah, kicked off in Charlotte last night, a reduced convention plan, if you want to call it. Quite an interesting array of speakers last night. They're one of the foci, if you call it, of the convention. Is certainly to...
The what?
That's the plural of focus, I think.
You know what? I'm 57. I've never heard that word before. Ray, have you ever used that word before?
I've heard it. I've never used it. I don't think. Foci.
I'm impressed, Fred.
Well, if there are grammar teachers out there, we'll hear from them if I'm wrong, all right?
Okay.
But anyway, in Latin, you add an I sometimes.
All right, got you.
All right. Anyway, last night, interesting array of speakers because, you know, the Democratic Party, the mainstream media, has tried to paint the Republican Party as basically the party of white people only and that black people and brown people are not welcome. Well, last night, there were a lot of speakers who didn't have white skin, and they were there to tell the American people there's nothing racist about Donald Trump, and perhaps making that point the strongest last night was former Dallas Cowboy football player Herschel Walker. Let's have a listen to what he had to say. Cut 5.
I take it as a personal insult that people would think I've had a 37-year friendship with a racist. People who think that don't know what they're talking about. Growing up in the Deep South, I've seen racism up close. I know what it is, and it isn't Donald Trump. Just because someone loves and respects the flag, our national anthem and our country, doesn't mean they don't care about social justice. I care about all those things. So does Donald Trump. He shows how much he cares about social justice in the black community through his actions. And his actions speak louder than stickers or slogans on a jersey. He keeps right on fighting to improve the lives of black Americans and all Americans.
And really what Herschel Walker is talking about, lest people forget, lowest unemployment rate amongst African Americans and Hispanics. President Trump brought that about before the pandemic hit. But also in the area of justice reform, which Democrats talked about for years. But President Trump has led the way in justice reform. So that's what Herschel Walker's talking about. Other speakers saying the same thing.
You know, by the way, Herschel Walker, I almost feel the need to say this every time his name's brought up, but he's about my age, and I know that maybe you didn't follow college football. Fred, living in Canada, but Ray and I remember Herschel Walker, going to be the top running back ever in college football, probably, with the possible exception of Bo Jackson, wouldn't you say, Ray?
Right, right. I mean, he was, when he got ahead of steam, there was no one man that could bring him down when he got ahead of steam. He was unstoppable.
Then he had world-class speed. He had sprinter speed and a
right
linebacker body. But But he is a very patriotic man. He says, I've known Donald Trump for 37 years. In fact, he played for his team, the USFL. Some people remember that back in the, I want to say, 80s.
Early 80s. Wasn't the new, was that the New Jersey Generals?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah. And Donald Trump owned the team.
Right.
So Herschel Walker has known Donald Trump for 37 years. And he's saying, you know, it's an insult to me, he said, for you to say I've had a 37-year relationship with a racist. Mm-hmm. I've known Donald Trump, and he's not a racist. This goes back to this what I've said before. If you say something over and over and over and over and over and over again, then even if it's a lie, people tend to start believing what you're saying. And with President Trump, you know, he was in the public eye for decades, right? He had the number one television show on TV for several years, The Apprentice. And so whether you agree or disagree with his politics, he's never been charged with being a racist by anybody of any credibility. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's president of the United States, he becomes a racist. And the Democrats just say that every day, all day, and you don't ever have to provide any proof of it. You just say it, and you're unchallenged by your media friends, that is the Democrats and the left-wing media. Now, what Joe Biden will say is Charlottesville. That's the proof that Donald Trump is a racist by what he said at Charlottesville. And, of course, they take that completely out of context, again, over and over and over again. So another thing I found interesting about Herschel Walker said was he said Donald Trump has never asked me to speak on his behalf. I thought that was very interesting. In other words, Donald Trump didn't call up Herschel Walker and say, hey, man, you're calling me a racist. You got to come to my defense. You got to vouch for me.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker said, no. I wanted to say this about this man because I've known him personally for 37 years, and he is not a racist as charged. You're listening to the Today's Issues program here on American Family Radio. Joining us now from North Carolina is our good friend Dr. Frank Turek from Cross Examined Ministries. How you doing, Brother Frank?
Well, you know, that silly white fragility book says that you're a racist just if you're white. You know that? And if you deny you're a racist, that means you are. And of course, if you say you are a racist, that means you are too. So you can't get away from it.
Oh, the what book now? Is that...
This book, White Fragility, that some people have been reading. It's got a lot of reviews on Amazon, and a lot on the left point to this book as sort of their Bible. And it's the most racist book you could imagine. To say that your skin color means you're a racist is racism itself.
There was some university up in the Northeast that's some of the students here are demanding segregated dorms.
Mm.
Did you see
that's
this?
A step forward, huh?
Hey, it was black students demanding they have their own dorms.
Yeah, I
and,
know.
And
it's
people,
crazy.
The people were saying, wait a minute, I thought the whole idea was to get away from segregation. That was what the Civil Rights Movement was
New York University.
New York University. There you go. All right, Frank.
Yes.
Coming up in the election, of course, as it has been for the last few decades, the abortion will be a big topic, a big issue, and a lot of people will vote one way or another based on their views on abortion. We are a Christian radio network. We try to go by the Bible. And I wanted you to talk about abortion and where it fits in politically as we make voting choices.
Well, since we're going to the Bible, let's go to Jesus and what he said in Matthew chapter 23. A lot of people don't think Jesus ever got involved in politics. But what they don't realize is that he did, because he went after the politicians of his day. And the politicians of his day were the Pharisees, because many of them were on the Sanhedrin. In other words, they were not just religious leaders, they were also political leaders. And Jesus excoriated them In fact, if you think Jesus was a nice guy all the time, just go read Matthew chapter 23. Here's one of the things he says. It's easy to remember. It's Matthew 23, 23. He's talking to the politicians. And he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law," politicians, "and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former, you blind guides. You strain out a gnat but swallow a camel." Now, what's he saying here? He's saying that they, these Pharisees, were tithing their spices, which they should do, but they were neglecting the more important matters of the law. What does that imply? Well, there are more important matters of the law. There are things that are more important to God than other things. I know Christians are known to say all sin is sin. It's true, but not all sin is equally sinful. Not all sins are treated the same. Not all commands are the same. Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then the second is your neighbor as yourself. So he's implying there's a standard here or a moral hierarchy, and you shouldn't neglect the weightier matters of the law. Now, it's not just people on the left who are saying that, you know, abortion isn't a big deal, but other issues are. There are even people who claim to be Christians, like Dr. Ron Sider, S-I-D-E-R. He's more of a leftist politically. And he tries to say that, oh, you Christians, you're just pro-life. You evangelicals are just pro-life on abortion before someone's born. And I am too. But after they're born, you don't really care about them. You got to be just as pro-life on issues. Poverty and health insurance and smoking and climate change and all these things. And we can argue over those matters. I think we ought to be pro-life on those issues. But to say that abortion is equivalent to those other issues, or better said, all those other issues are equivalent to abortion, is to, I think, miss what Jesus is saying in the moral hierarchy. In fact, here's a question we can ask people when they say, well, you're not helping the poor. I would ask this question. Is failing to give money to a poor person just as bad as murdering a poor person? And of course, the answer is no. We want to give money to poor people. We want to help poor people. But sometimes giving them money may actually create dependency. We may want to try another approach. But we all want to help the poor. But just because you maybe not help the poor to a level of somebody else's satisfaction doesn't mean that that issue is equally morally bad as murdering a poor person, which is what's going on with regard to abortion. In fact, if you want to fight racism, the best way to fight racism is to stop abortion, particularly in the black community. Why? Because more black people die as a result of abortion than die out of all other causes combined. There are more black abortions in New York City than there are black births. Now, I can go on with this. I did the radio program this past week on this issue, Tim. It's called, and it's actually an article that Dr. Sider wrote that I responded to. Does abortion trump everything else? And in my view, yes, it does in terms of issues. Now, that doesn't mean that because you're pro-life, you're automatically qualified as a candidate. I mean, you can be pro-life and be wrong on so many other issues. But in my view, it means if you're pro-abortion, that disqualifies you as a candidate. I don't know. Did you guys see what John MacArthur said a week or two ago about Trump calling him? Did you guys hear any of that?
Go ahead.
John MacArthur was actually, he got a phone call from Trump because, you know, he's doing his church, regardless of what Newsom says, because he's saying, look, I have a higher obligation to obey the Bible than to obey what you've said. And he got up in his congregation and he said, "If when I look at these two-party platforms, you know what the Democrat Party platform basically is? It's basically advancing and advocating the sins of Romans chapter 1. That's wow. What he said. And when you look at the platform, you go, you know what? He's right. He's advocating behaviors that Romans chapter 1 identifies as sinful. And he went on to say, there's no way I could vote for a Democrat, given that platform. Now, that doesn't mean all the Republicans are good either, but the platform, when you look at the platforms, at least when it comes to the life issue, which in my view is the most important issue, the Republicans have it right. Now, again, that doesn't mean every Republican is a good candidate. Doesn't mean every
Democrat is a bad candidate. But you're saying, as far as you're concerned,
pro-life, but so many of them are not. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, So what you're saying is being pro-life doesn't necessarily qualify you for holding office, especially the presidency, but you're saying if you're not pro-life, in your mind, that disqualifies you.
It would seem to, in Jesus's mind too. Why? He's saying you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law. I mean, think about this. In our country, we're telling people what light bulbs they can and can't use, but we won't tell them don't abort or murder your children.
Frank, our country has been, abortion has been around, or baby killing, if you want to call it that, has been around for decades. Mm-hmm. Is there any way America can escape God's judgment? Because when you look in human history, countries that do the horrific things that we're talking about typically face some kind of punishment or reckoning.
Yeah, and you only need to read Jeremiah chapter 7 on that, which I did on the radio program on Saturday, because they were sacrificing their children to Molech, you know, the Canaanite deity. And he said, you're going to be judged for that. And of course they were. So, you know, the answer, the way forward, as you know, Walker, is the gospel. We got to get more people saved. And we also have to speak the truth in the public square. But yeah, who knows when God is going to judge us. But if this continues, obviously he will.
Are you going to grade President Trump on pro-life issues?
Well, in my view, he's been one of the top pro-life presidents ever. He's the only one that's ever spoken at the pro-life march, as you know. I think that with regard to Trump's pro-life stance and the Republicans' pro-life stance, that is such an important issue that's required for us to support any candidate. And it doesn't necessarily mean, as I said earlier, that every candidate that claims to be pro-life is a good candidate. I'm saying every candidate that denies pro-life, that basically is pro-abortion, is a bad candidate.
Frank, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate what you got coming. Give us your website and what's coming up this weekend on your show.
Yeah, it's crossexamined.org. It's crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. And this weekend we'll have another scintillating program about what? I don't know. It's only Tuesday, and this happens on Saturday. What are you guys going to be talking about tomorrow, you know?
Duly noted. All right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Hey, great being with you guys. Hey, there's silence. I don't know. You guys don't agree with this or what?
No, we're stunned.
We agree.
By your intellect.
Come
okay.
on.
All right. Hey, take care. See you, brother.
Hey, God bless you guys. See you.
Okay, that's our good friend, Dr. Frank Turek.
One other thing.
There's nothing more.
The right
to
life is the right to all other rights. I had to say that. If you don't have life, you don't have anything.
The right to life is the right to all other.
All of the rights.
All the right. Hey, that's
the right to life is the right to all other rights. If you don't have life, you don't have anything. So how can that not be the most important issue?
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
God bless. See you.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. And when we get back from our timeout, we will have Sandy Rios join us. We'll get Sandy's reaction to what's going on at the Republican National Convention. Fred said it's in Charlotte. It's also in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the speakers last night were in an auditorium in Washington, D.C.
Social distancing.
Yeah. It was a very, it was the, called the, I want to say the Mellon Auditorium. I'll have to look that up exactly, but it was a very majestic setting with the columns and the lights and the flags. It was very well produced. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Patrice Cullors is one of the co-founders of the national, or now global, BLM organization. They're talking about channeling the powers of the ancestors. That it is the spirituality that enables them and empowers them to do this, quote unquote, justice work.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. In March, we're going on our annual trip to the Holy Land. And if you want to go with us, get the brochure or visit the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. We're going to go to Israel. We're going to go to Jerusalem. So much to see there. Bethlehem, the Dead Sea, We're going to the Jordan River, where we'll have a baptismal service. We're going to ride a boat on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to so many places you've read about your whole life in the Bible. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. If you would like to come with us, again, go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's in March, March 16th through the 24th. If you want a free brochure sent to your home, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. I received correspondence from a number of listeners to my radio program who were rightfully outraged over a middle school lesson that likened police officers to slave owners and the Ku Klux Klan. The lesson included a cartoon that showed a police officer kneeling on the neck of a black man, the guy saying, "I can't breathe." A progression of other cartoons showed the officer morphing into a slaveholder and a Klansman. The school district issued a statement apologizing for the lesson and any hurt it might have caused, but an apology is not good enough. The children have been indoctrinated, intentionally or unintentionally. Regardless, a great wrong has been done, and it's going to take more than an apology to fix the problem. The school district needs to launch an investigation to determine the teacher's true intent. And if the educator was attempting to teach the children that police officers are bad, he or she should be removed from the classroom. We must undo the anti-police brainwashing that occurred in Texas. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
If you would like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. That's our email address, comments@afr.net. Got some response yesterday from our discussion about what's going on with nursing homes. Ray, you weren't on with us yesterday.
Right.
Nursing homes, hospitals.
Oh, it's a mess, Tim, all over the country.
Nursing homes, these poor people are stuck by themselves, and they can't have family visitors.
No, that's accurate.
Not even wanted to, some people, I guess some nurse, it varies nursing home to nursing home, doesn't it? Or is it these state mandates to keep people out?
I haven't heard of many, if any, that allow family members to visit.
Yeah, were you aware of this? Ray, you heard any stories about this?
I've heard a ton of stories like this of these folks. And they're almost like they're being warehoused, Tim. They're being put away. And the family, in some cases, is being security is keeping them away from their own loved ones. It's brutal and barbaric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at some point you have to ask yourself, with regard to this, what makes life worth living? You know what I'm saying? If you're going to tell me you have to, and I'm not talking about going crazy and letting everybody come into the nursing home, but I'm talking about making arrangements where, you know, one or two people can be. Walker, you've had a recommendation for this, right?
Yeah, I just wrote a column in our local newspaper this morning, and it'll be up on afa.net later today. But one of the recommendations that I made is that various long-term care facilities and hospitals invest in these rapid tests, and many of them already have them, actually. But these rapid tests allow a result on COVID in about 15 minutes. And if these facilities would invest in these rapid testing kits, then they could allow maybe like at least one family member a week to visit their loved one the same day. That they could do the rapid test and then visit their family member on the same day.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason these people are in nursing homes or they're in long-term care facilities. They can't help themselves, mm-hmm. right? That's the whole point. And I'm just thinking to myself, how much abuse and neglect is going on out there when people aren't cared for by their family, or at least I heard somebody said yesterday, the best thing you can do is check up on your and go in unannounced.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, let's face it, I'm not indicting all nursing home workers by any means or long-term health facilities, but I'm just saying human nature being what it is, you know, you see these people all day, every day for years and years, you almost can't help but get hardened to, you know, to them as a human.
Right.
In their conditions.
Yeah, the policies that we have in place and that have been in place for the last 6 months are unsustainable. And as Ray said, they're inhumane. So these facilities are absolutely going to have to figure out a way to allow family members in to
They're
going to
die of loneliness.
Right.
Some are. Yes.
Some are. Right.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Today's Issues program. I'm Tim with Ray Walker and Fred. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for our ministry here at American Family Association. That means she is our representative in our nation's capital. And she keeps us posted on a lot of things that are going on there. And Sandy also is a host of her own program, Sandy Rios in the Morning, 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning here on American Family Radio. Good morning to you, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim and everybody. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Did you hear what we were talking about right there?
I did. I just was reminded of a friend of mine in Wisconsin whose mother is in a nursing home. And she, when I visited her recently, my friend, she said that she had not seen her mother since last March. Her mother has a case of dementia, but still Carol can talk to her. And she said that some circumstances somehow, I can't remember the details, but somehow they were able to bring her mother out. They were able to see her just briefly. And her mother had not been eating. She was starving to death because Carol felt she was in such grief. She was isolated, hadn't seen any of the family in months. And after, maybe it was Carol, I think she talked to her. Her mother began to eat again. And so, I mean, I just think it's absolutely immoral, unjust, unconscionable what we're doing to our parents and grandparents. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. I just can't stand it. Walker, I'm so glad you wrote that editorial. We have to stop this.
Yeah.
I would rather die. I would rather die of COVID than die alone in a nursing home with no family for months on end.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I knew a lady had cancer a few months back, March, in the hospital by herself. Mm-hmm. Nobody, all she could do, I guess, is talk on the phone to somebody.
Yeah.
We had some friends that had their parents celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. They're both in the nursing home, and the family, we had pictures of them. They're on the street waving to their parents. Mm-hmm. You know, they had balloons and stuff, but they couldn't see them. Their parents are right at the window, you know. That's how they celebrated.
Yeah.
That'll never come again.
You just got to find a way. Walker, I think your recommendation is a very good one.
Yeah.
Have these rapid testing.
Absolutely.
Available and let people come in and see their loved ones.
Yeah, the rapid testing, I was reading a story about some well-to-do people in Hollywood who have invested in their own. This is not a medical facility. This is a house. They're wealthy, and they ordered a rapid testing kit, and they're still having their big house parties, and they're rapid testing all of their visitors. So when I saw that, I thought, if private citizens can get these rapid tests so they can keep doing their parties, then surely our nursing facilities and our hospitals can invest in rapid testing to ensure that people don't die alone.
All right, Fred, go ahead.
Well, I know Sandy's well aware of what's happening with the Republicans right now. They've opened their convention formally yesterday. I want to play you a clip of Congressman Jim Jordan, who I think nailed it on the head last night in his speech as to what this election is all about. I want to get Sandy's comments on it. It's cut number two, Brent.
Don't believe me? Look at what's happening in American cities. Cities all run by Democrats. Crime, violence, and mob rule. Democrats refuse to denounce the mob, and their response to the chaos? Defund the police, defund Border Patrol, and defund our military. And while they're doing all this, they're also trying to take away your guns. Look at the positions they've taken in the past few months. Democrats won't let you go to church, but they'll let you protest. Democrats won't let you go to work, but they'll let you riot. And Democrats won't let you go to school, but they'll let you go loot. President Trump has fought against each of their crazy ideas.
I think he nailed it, Sandy. We're talking about an election that's going to decide the values of this country.
Absolutely, Fred. You know, actually, I watched him. I got up really early this morning and watched from last night because, you know, my body clock is different from starting it at 10 is a little problem for me, but I loved it. I watched Jim. I pulled that actually and was going to, I didn't play it this morning, but I thought it was powerful because Jim is so, he is so able to synthesize ideas and make them very clear, and he's not overstating. I would just say to anyone listening, you have to see the testimonials. Jim was just one of them last, or Congressman Jordan was just one of them last night. You have to see the testimonials. It's like, I guess you'd call it Realville. You know, the McCloskeys, the couple that pulled their guns because the Black Lives Matter broke down the fence in their gated community and were surrounding their house and threatening them. And then, of course, now they are under investigation for actually coming out and trying to defend their property. They spoke last night, and they spoke of the great themes, you know, that this is a great country, and we are guaranteed in the Constitution the right to protect our property, and that nothing has happened to any of those protesters that threatened us, and yet we now are in trouble with the local authorities. So there were one by one, there were so many testimonies like that. And I was asking the question on my show this morning, Fred, about what are we to believe? To the average citizen, you know, watching the DNC last week and that Joe Biden is a nice guy, he's decent, and these stories of grievances and mistreatment and racism and women's rights and all of it, you know, this constant trail, they have lots of stories too. So you have to then say, what's true here? And what I saw last night, obviously I have a very strong bias about this, but the stories that they told were their personal experiences, and they were all true, and they were compelling. And I just can't say enough about, I just thought it was phenomenal for Americans to watch it. If you want to be encouraged about your country, go back and watch that. You can get it on YouTube, the RNC convention last night. You can get it on CNN, for heaven's sake. They actually posted a lot of those testimonials. So I thought it was powerful, Fred.
Mm. By the way, I know you know this, Sandy. Tara Reid might disagree with your description of Joe Biden as a decent human being.
Well, no, that was
but I
that was the DNC description of Joe Biden. It's not mine because I don't think he's decent. I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about his indecency.
The media wants to constantly talk about Donald Trump's abrasive personality. I guess you could describe it that way. That's the way they want you to think he is 24/7. When people like Herschel Walker say, no, that's not true. He does fight his political enemies. President Trump does. And he will slug it out with you. But what people forget or not told, Joe Biden's had, he does this kind of stuff. You know, he was talking to the young lady reporter a few months ago. Remember that on the campaign trail? Back when people remember what a campaign trail is? But he called her a dog face pony.
Joe Biden.
Lion dog face pony soldier.
Yeah, he had like a 20-something-year-old young lady asking him a legitimate question, and he calls her that. He had a worker in Michigan ask him a question about the Second Amendment. He said, you're full of blank expletive to his face. I mean, this guy, you know, he's a piece of work, talking about Biden. But now he's supposed to be, you know, old Uncle Joe now.
You know, I think that of all the stories about him, Tara Reid has enough of a bad story about him. And people are saying, listening to us, Tim, I know they're saying, oh, yeah, but look at Donald Trump. Look at the undercover video that came out during the last election, what he said, et cetera, et cetera. We know all of that. And we're not excusing anything that he's done that was immoral in the past. I think most of us feel that at this point in his life, he's got a wife that he loves and is faithful to. We don't know that. But about Joe Biden, The story that really disturbed me the most about him, Tim, was the story that I knew from D.C., from Secret Service agents, that he would insist on swimming in his pool in the vice president's mansion in the nude, in spite of the fact that his female Secret Service agents asked him, please, not to do that. He did it anyway. And, you know, that used to be a crime, that voyeurism or you know, exposing yourself.
Yeah.
That used to be a crime. That, to me, is that's a step further. That's like, that's not like people have illicit sexual relations all the time. At least that's in the bounds of normalcy.
Yeah.
To me, doing that is not, that's not in the bounds of normalcy.
And he claims to be a good Catholic while he is for abortion on demand through 9 months, right?
Yes, and you know, did you hear the Cuban businessman who spoke last night?
I did. I heard that.
Did you hear him say that Fidel Castro, when they asked him if he was a communist, he always said, no, I'm a Catholic. He said because he wouldn't dare confess to what he really believed. And the obvious inference, you know. Joe Biden's, of course, his policies as out of the mouth of Barack Obama are as far left as Bernie Sanders. He said there's no difference between, and he thought that was a good thing. And so if he can have that million-dollar smile all he wants, I always say, don't look at what a man says, look at what he does. And that's why I think a lot of us appreciate President Trump, because he's done some incredible things.
But I have a last question, Sandy, I have is, what do you think the odds are that there will actually be a debate between President Trump and
I can't imagine them allowing. I can't imagine the Democrats allowing that.
Yeah,
I just can't imagine it. And they're so good at not doing what they're supposed to do or what people expect them to do, and they'll spin it, and it will make perfect sense. Joe will be sick. He'll you know.
I agree. I think it's 60-40 against him. I don't know what I said yesterday, but it's, I think the chances are more likely that he won't debate President Trump. And here's how they'll frame it. President Trump is a liar, and he would have to be fact-checked on everything he says during a debate, so we're not going to humanize him anymore. He's an evil, wicked man, and so we're going to roll the dice, so to speak. We're going to take our chances with the basement strategy and see if we can run out the clock if they believe their polls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a very good chance that you'll never see a debate between Biden and Trump, because what really does Biden have to gain, right? And if you might say, well, what does he, but he has a lot to lose. Should he duck the debate? Well, maybe,
you know, there was
maybe so.
I tell you, I don't know, one clip I did not have a chance to play this morning, another clip, this was a listener to C-SPAN, a Democrat, called in. You know, they have the Republican line and the Democratic line, and this guy was from Ohio, I believe. And he said, I'm a Democrat, but I just got through watching the Republican convention. And he said, I'm voting for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I've never voted for a Republican in my life. But and the guy would say, well, what made you change your mind? He said, because what he's saying makes sense to me. I saw genuineness. I heard these people talking, and I was persuaded by their genuineness. And so we have to hope that that people will...
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to assess what's true and what isn't. That's what I'm challenging people to do.
Yeah. All right, Sandy, thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us.
You're welcome. My pleasure always, you guys. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, to your point, Tim, with regards to debate, I'm kind of hoping that there isn't a debate.
There is not?
No, and here's why. Because President Trump, he could handle Biden, but he'd also be up against the mainstream media asking the questions. And the mainstream media, the coverage that I've seen even up this morning compared to how the mainstream media covered the Democrat convention last week, the mainstream media this morning, right out of the chute, attacking President Trump and talking about like they're in his heart and his mind. They know his motivation for everything. The mainstream media hates Donald Trump.
To me, that helps him because they were pretty clearly against him. Some of the moderators during the 2016 debate. So, I mean, as long as he handles himself well, I might could see that benefiting him if he seems like the victim and everyone's going after him.
Yeah. But Fred, go ahead, Ray.
Let me ask a hypothetical question, throw it out here. Let's suppose that after this week, let's assume next two or three nights go as well as last night, okay? The same themes hitting. So the polls tighten up, and maybe it becomes, instead of a 4 to 6 point race, I'm just talking about the national polls, not the internal stuff, but let's say it tightens up to 1 to 2%. How long? I mean, you said, Tim, that, you know, their whole strategy, the Dems' whole strategy, is to keep Joe in the basement and run out the clock. But if it really tightens up, mm-hmm. how long can they keep him in the basement? And what happens if they put him in front of live reporters who actually want to ask hard questions? At what point, I guess I'm asking you, at what point do the Dems have to let Joe out of the basement? So we
That's a good point. You might figure they might come to the place where they say, now I don't know when the first debate's scheduled for. It's coming up in
end of September.
Yeah.
Oh, the end of September?
Yep.
Okay, then they've still got time to back out. But if they determine that it's a tie, that is, the Democrats, those who support Biden, and they say, well, we've got to take our chances with the debate or we're going to lose. That's a different thought process than saying we're ahead by 8-10 points. Why take a risk on putting our guy out there when we know there's a good chance that a debate with President Trump would be a disaster mm-hmm. from a public relations standpoint, from a people actually seeing these two on stage facing one another. So that's a very good question. I tell you what I've noticed, and I follow these polls. Again, folks, whatever you believe about the polls, I do pay attention to them, just out of curiosity, I guess you could say. And if you believe them, then the president, since probably late June, has been inching up. Mm-hmm. Not much, maybe a point here, point two there, 2 points, 3 points there. But in the swing states, like they're tied in Minnesota. Minnesota's a blue state. Mm-hmm. They're tied in Wisconsin, basically. Again, another blue state typically. And although they had Scott Walker as their governor. Michigan, it's very close. Pennsylvania, it's very close. These are big, what I call Big Ten country swing states, Ray.
Right.
That now, obviously, the president almost, at least in the last against Hillary Clinton, he had to sweep them all. And I think, well, no, he didn't. He won three or four of them. Ohio was in question at the time. I don't think Ohio is in favor of Trump right now. So,
right.
While the polls may say Trump Biden's up 8 to 10 points or 6 to 8 points, whatever the case may be, you have to factor in, are they oversampling Democrats? And that typically is what happened. And yeah. You have to look at the polls, what the questions they've asked. And where are these polls taking place when they say a national poll? Are they asking 5 of the 10 national poll of people questions? Are they in New York and California? You see what I'm saying? So, and I do think it helps the party, whoever the party is, whether it be Republican or Democrat, to have the last convention. And yes. Don't you, Fred?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And just from an optic standpoint, and yep. I know this sounds petty to people probably, but I'm just going to tell you my observation. And, Ray, you can comment on this too. And that is the production last night was far better than what the Democrats had last week in terms of lighting, in terms of staging, in terms of the, and I thought they did a good job, the Democrats. I thought they did a pretty good job with that. And then I saw last night, and I was going, wow. The setting there in D.C. was regal.
Mm-hmm.
The columns, the flag, they was well lit. The delivery of the speeches were all excellent, and a wide variety of stories were told. Fred, Ray, go ahead, and then you, Fred.
Look, there is a great power to the incumbency, right? And the Republicans used it to the maximum effect last night. See, I agree on both points, Tim. I thought the Democrats did fine last week.
Right.
They did just fine with what they had to work with. It's not like that they did terrible. But the Republicans, and look, I was a little surprised. The Republicans, They came on strong last night. I think they surprised a lot of people.
Well, and my wife Allison said that do not plan to do anything tonight, Tuesday night, because this is Melania night.
That's right.
Oh, and she's going to be speaking from the Rose Garden, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't she, Fred?
Yeah, the optics are only going to get better. Yes, Melania Trump speaking from the Rose Garden tonight. By the way,
which language is she going to speak in?
Well, she speaks five.
I know. That's
all
I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
I was saying that as a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. New York Times, there was a New York Times reporter dumped all over Melania Trump for rearranging the Rose Garden for her speech. I mean, that's what you expect from the New York Times. New York Times, Washington Post. They're kind of peas in a pod. Mm. But wait till Thursday night. And that's why the mainstream media, the left, is going ballistic. President Trump is going to speak from the South Lawn of the White House. They are going nuts over that.
Why?
They're going nuts because how dare he use, because the White House supposedly is supposed to be neutral ground. How dare he use that? They don't like the fact that Pompeo's speaking tonight.
Yeah.
And he's overseas somewhere. So, you know, when they get really upset about something,
right,
you know it's going to work for the American people.
Yeah, on the back, on the polling a little bit, you know, the sampling that is used by some of these polling outlets, including Fox News, is way out of touch with reality. So, for example, in 2016, they were running polls that showed about a 26% Republican turnout or Trump turnout. Well, on election day, 33% of voters were voting Republican or voting for President Trump. So that's a 7-point difference that wasn't being calculated into the polls. And the thing is, now that we know that, these polling agencies are running the same numbers that they ran in 2016. So they're still showing a 26-27% Republican turnout when in 2016 it was 33%. Mm-hmm. And so when you run that in Pennsylvania, you run that in Florida, you run that in Wisconsin, they're showing Biden up 5 points, Biden up 6 points. But the sampling is just not in touch with reality. And
I'll tell you what, another good sign for the president, and I trust the Rasmussen poll. And again, a lot can happen between now and November. You know what I mean? A lot, good and bad, can happen. And the president's like the national quarterback, whoever he may be. He gets credit for the good, usually, and gets blamed for the bad, even if it's not his fault, or even if he didn't have anything much to do with the success. I'm just saying that's just how it is. And the Rasmussen reports, their daily tracking poll, despite the fact that President Trump is attacked and beat up unmercifully from all corners of the world, right? I mean, it's all corners of the world. The social media giants, are they fact-checking? They hate him. China, we mentioned this yesterday. Democrats, mainstream media, or the never-Trumpers on the Republican side, the European Union. Shall I go on? Despite all that, President Trump has a, according to Rasmussen, 49% today, 49% of likely U.S. voters approve of his job performance. Now, 49% disapprove, too, but that's kind of how America has been for a few years as a split country. But I wouldn't want to be tied on Election Day if I were Biden and the Democrats, because if you're tied on Election Day, you're going to lose. Because there's a lot of voters out there for President Trump who aren't going to tell the pollsters who they're voting for. I'm convinced of that. Fred, thank you.
You are welcome.
Ray Walker and yours truly will be back with Steve in just a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.